that we've been blessed to have Clyde to become be our pastor. And when he came, I told him that, you know, that he was the pastor and I was going to be in the shadows and stay back in the back and push him when I need to, talk with him when I need to. But I wanted to be his support. And I told him, I don't have to preach. You're the pastor. And he told me, said, anytime you want to preach, you just let me know. And I said, no. Anytime you really feel like I need to preach, then you ask me. And he would ask me a few times, and then I didn't feel like it because of health and other issues. But that's the reason I haven't been in the pulpit preaching any more than I have, is because he's the pastor, and he knows your heartbeat like I do, and he knows where you are. And so we pray together, we work together, and so I've been blessed. And I hope I've been a little help to him. So today, I'm going to do something that I don't normally work this way, but I'm going to start at the end of life's journey instead of at the beginning of life's journey. Sometimes ago, I had somebody to ask me, would I preach on heaven? And there was a lot of things that I wanted to speak about and wanted to share with you, but somehow or another I couldn't get away from that subject. And so today I'm going to try to share with you something about heaven. Now heaven, to me, I know heaven is very real because of the experiences that I've had in dealing with people for 62 years as a Christian. And I know that the Russian astronaut, when he was thrust into outer space, he made fun at people who had a faith in God because he declared he didn't see God anywhere and he did not see heaven there. But when our astronauts was on the moon, one of them read from the book of Genesis, and he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was that form and void was upon the deep. And so he read the creation story because he saw God everywhere. You cannot explain the origin of the world and outer space and the planet on which we live. The creation of man with the intricate makeup of the human body, you cannot explain it other than there is a God. And I've learned a long time ago, the people who say there is no God is usually a person that does not want to live under the authority of God or live a disciplined life, to live a life that will be productive and a blessing to others. Their interest is self and getting all that they can get for themselves. And so when they live selfishly, and whenever you live sensually, seeking to cater to the flesh, then you seek to eliminate God because you do not want to have to give an account unto God. The opposite of heaven is hell. And we know that hell is an awful place. And I would like to have shared that earlier, but I did not feel led to. But maybe one day I can come back, because I think you need to be aware of it, because I think we're living in a day when we're not aware of it, because we sure act like it and live like it, as if there is not an accountability for our lives and that there is not a place where a man will have to give an account for the things that he does in this body. But God is a God of justice. God is a loving God. And God has to be just. And I remember some years ago, I had a man to say to me one time as I was living in another city, he said, I don't believe in hell, but I sure wish there was one, so some of these people I know would have to go there. And I said, sir, there is a hell. And not only will some of the people you are thinking about may go there, but you will go there too. unless you first of all realize that you too are accountable to God and to for this life that you live and what you do with His Son Jesus, who made it possible that we might have life and have life more abundantly and be able to live with God and know God in this world. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be in the presence of God. I was in the presence of God Thursday. And then, just like now, you don't know how I feel. The gloriousness, the joy, the excitement, the wonderfulness of being a child of God. And to know God is real in heaven, it is real. And I'll tell you something else about heaven. Everybody, there's a lot of people who have an interest in heaven. And I was thinking one day, I said, well, who's not interested in heaven? And then I got to think about who is interested in heaven. And I got to thinking about this. Well, everybody's going there is interested in it. I know that I've been able and privileged to preach the gospel in many places and many countries. And when I would receive an invitation from the home mission board or the foreign mission board to go, I would seek to find out about the place I was going. And ever since I was 19 years old, I've been studying about it and reading about the place that I'm going to go one grand and glorious day when the Lord calls me home or when He comes in the air and then we're called up to go and be with Him forevermore. And so I'm going there and I'm interested in that place. And if you are going there and you have an interest in that place, I'll tell you, it'll make a difference in the way you live. And I'll tell you something else, those that are somebody else is interested in heaven too. And as those of us that are living today and have someone living there, some that's already gone on before us, we hated to see them leave and vacate the old body and whenever they left this old world. And so we know that whenever they left, they went into the presence of God and to share in that wonderful place that He is preparing for us. And so we have an interest in heaven because of those who live there. And just to be plain honest, I get homesick. And if you're a Christian, I imagine you do too. And so sometimes I get so homesick, I just literally ache and hurt in my heart and in my soul. Homesickness is something that's terrible. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. I was in Sydney, Australia, preaching in some crusades some years ago. I hadn't ever been homesick. But I want to tell you something. I was homesick. It hurt. It hurt. And the only thing that kept me going is I was going, witnessing and preaching and speaking in different places and things like that. But heaven, I want you to know, it's just such of a grand and wonderful place. And did you know that whenever we go to heaven, you will find that John gives us a description of heaven to some degree in Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. And I saw a heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelievers, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As I was reading that the other day, and I saw, and as I visualize what John was saying as he saw this vision, and as he looked, and as he saw in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I know that in the beginning of time, God created a perfect world, sinless and spotless, glorious and wonderful. Satan entered into it. Man disobeyed and followed it. And then whenever he did, and whenever he disobeyed God, then sin came into the world. And we find that not only was man driven from the Garden of Eden and shut out from the presence of God, but also we know that nature was cursed. Creation was cursed. The animal world entered unto the curse of sin. And so the world in which we live is a world that is ravaged by sin. And so God lets us know that as he worked the plan of redemption and salvation through dealing with our sin problem and his being a just God and sin having to be punished, then God was willing to be punished for us because he had no sins for which to pay. And he knew there was no way that we could come back to him. And there was no way he could restore us to that former glory unless sin was eliminated and sin was punished and dealt with in our lives. And so we know the length to which God went in order that today, that all of us that are here in this sanctuary, that we have a choice, heaven or hell, life with God, life without God, death without God or death with God, eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. We have that choice, and we make those choices. And if we choose to do nothing, we still make the choice not to have anything to do with what God has done in order to redeem us and to save us from our sins. Before heaven could ever become a reality, then we notice that in God's plan, in God's economy, in the end times that God moves upon this earth, and there's a time when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up to be with the Lord, and we shall go to be with him. And whenever we are caught up and carried up into that glorious place, then there will come that time of tribulation and times the tribulation period, and there will come that time of the 10 years reign, and there will come that time of the judgment seat of Christ, and then there will come the great white throne judgment. And so in our scripture today, we have come to the place where heaven is coming down now. The earth has been cleansed. It has been purified. And God has created a new earth and a new heaven. Sin is eliminated. Paul tells us of the curse that's upon creation. and upon all nature in Romans chapter 8. He talks about the creation, how it groans and travails, waiting for the redemption of the children of God. And whenever God comes to redeem us, then He will create a new heaven and a new earth. And whenever He creates the new heaven and the new earth, then we find that the Lord will usher us into the new earth and the new heaven. And that right here on this earth, it was this earth that was cursed and full of sin and destruction and devastation came upon it. And God will renew the earth and make us a new earth, and we will dwell on earth. And whenever we come to this wonderful and glorious place that John has a vision of, if you will notice in verse 9, as he begins to read and describe the glory of that place, and he tells us and uses terminology that describes those things that we look upon as being dazzling, beautiful, valuable, and glorious. And so in all of the language that he is using to describe the wonder of the city, it's to help us to understand that it is so glorious it defies explanation and the limitation of the human language. It's utterly impossible to describe heaven if we could see it and look upon it. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul, while he was preaching and sharing the gospel for Christ and going from city to city and place to place, being hounded by people who were seeking to hinder the presentation of the gospel and try to prevent people from following Jesus. And wherever he went, he met opposition. But he continued to share the grand and most glorious news that the world has ever heard. And sometimes we just stumble over it. We do not understand it. But God made a way of escape from sin and the judgment of sin and from hell so that we might be able to be restored to Him and enter into that glorious city. And it's free. Free. I'm telling you, some folks couldn't buy it if they had to buy it, because a lot of folks are paupers. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's a free gift. But I want to tell you something. Whenever you come to know Christ and receive salvation as that free gift from God and enter into a relationship with Him, then you will want to live for Him and serve Him and work for Him and glorify Him and be an influence on this earth that leads men in a path that leads them to God. And you will want to see your family saved, everybody saved, and everyone come to know Jesus Christ, and that will become the focus point in your drive and in your plans and in your life to see people come to know Jesus Christ. That's our first and foremost purpose once we come to know Jesus Christ. I know God gave me that purpose and gave me that desire when I was 19 years old. I had no purpose of being. I was prepared not for living. I wasn't prepared for living in this world. And I weren't prepared for dying either. But when God came into my heart, He made me love people and want to see people saved. And not only did He give me that, but I put feet to the longings and prayers that I was praying. The grandest and most glorious thing of all is the salvation that God has prepared for us. And so God had made it possible that anyone and everyone might enter into that city and into that glorious place. And so the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, we look upon it in its dazzling beauty and the gloriousness of it. And you've never seen anything earthly in this world that can describe it. And Paul, he was stoned because of the proclamation of the gospel at Lystra. They thought they'd killed him. He was left for dead. And we have a lot of books today on the market of deathbed experiences. Paul had a death experience. I believe that Paul was slain, and he was left for dead. And he tells us in that when he was left for dead that he saw heaven. And he saw heaven in all of its glory. And he saw things that he could not describe. He could not explain. It defied his explanation. And he could not even talk about it, because there was no way he could understand it. All I can say, I know that heaven is glorious. Far more glorious than anything we can ever dream of with the human mind. And without an understanding that comes from the mind of God, we cannot even understand a little bit of it. But there's enough about it that makes you want to live right and do right and go there if you're the child of God. And heaven is a glorious place, a wonderful place. And we find that heaven is going to be wonderful just for the fact that some of the things that are absent that we have in our world. And if you'll notice in the fourth verse, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Some of you sitting out there, you're in a lot of pain even today. I have a daughter that has a lot of pain. I'm old enough that I got a pain or two also. But I want to tell you something. There won't be any death. Did you know that death is the end results of sin? And when you die, sin can't touch you anymore. Can't hurt you. Sometimes we think about losing our... I don't like to use that term, losing. A lot of time when our loved ones pass away, we weep and we weep and we weep. There's a granddaughter of a lady that passed away some years ago, and I did her funeral. The granddaughter's here. I thought Evelyn might be here. Is she back there? She is. I was in Memorial Park Chapel. We were there waiting to start the service, and Evelyn, her mother, was sitting down there, just heart just ripped out. And I was sitting up there waiting for the service, and I just felt in my heart to go down there and sit next to her. And God put these words in my mind, I believe, that it came from Him. And I sat down beside her, and I put my arm around her. And I said, "Evelyn, why are you crying? Are you crying for yourself, or are you crying for your mama?" And she told me what most people would say, "I'm crying for myself." I want to tell you something. No more crying. No more death. Funeral director's going to be out of business. All right, paying doctors, and some of them, you know, many of them, I don't know, but they're going to be out of business. All your doctors are going to shut down. There'll be no pain, no sorrow. I deal with people, your pastor deal with people. I wish churches could learn to pray for their pastor, see the good in their pastor. Allow him to have some faults and try to build him up. Because when you don't, it makes his ministry harder. He wants to be loved. I've always wanted to be loved. And I have had people in the church, because of the way they treated me, it broke my heart. It discouraged me. But I want to tell you something. The best thing you could ever do is encourage your pastor. Help him. He has to fight tooth and toenail just to stay in fellowship with God, to stay in touch with Him. And I've told Clyde, I said, "Son, you don't worry about anything. Anybody that needs help, you call me. You stay in the Word. You stay refreshed, because if you don't stay in the Word, you won't be able to fight life's battles. You won't have the vision that God wants you to have." But I want to tell you something. There won't be any more sorrow. No more death. And no more crying. Wow. Just eliminate all of that would make life so much better down here with me. And so heaven is a glorious place. There won't be any of those things. There won't even be any night there. There won't be any darkness to be there. And we find that darkness is an emblem of sin, and also it's an emblem of ignorance. And you will find darkness covers and does not reveal truth. It does not reveal the surroundings that you're in. It does not reveal you of the danger that you're in. Darkness. And men love darkness, and men who love darkness, they love darkness because their deeds are evil. But as we will study on Wednesday night, we are supposed to be the light of the world as God's children with revelation and understanding and can see clearly the right and the wrong and the good and the bad and what needs to be done and what can be done and what and that we can't. Things can be corrected and things can be made better and we can overcome and we can be victorious over any and everything with Jesus. Heaven's a glorious place called what's absent. Not only is it because of what's absent. Now, folks, I could go on there for a while, but there's so many things. There's no way I can describe even the things that I've learned about it in the Scripture. But we find that heaven, it's just a glorious place in its beauty and in what is absent. But it's glorious because of the things that we will experience when we get there. Whenever we get there, we will find that we will have a new body. Glorious be. How wonderful just to be able to know and to realize that there's another body. And especially young people, whenever you get to be the age of many of us that are here. And so whenever we get to heaven, we're going to have a new body that's adapted for eternity. And we find that it's going to be a body that'll be recognizable. Jesus, whenever he appeared after his resurrection, his disciples recognized him. Peter and John at the Mount of Transfiguration saw Jesus in his glorified body along with Moses and Elijah, and they recognized him. And so we find that the most wonderful and glorious thing is that whenever we get to heaven, we're going to have a perfect body. God didn't make us all handsome, and he didn't make us all pretty. He didn't make all of us with a full functioning body. Some of us have some deformities. There's a place in New Orleans called the home of the incurable. You don't want to go there. To see people that are born in this world. And so we're going to have a new body. It's going to be a glorious body. We may not be so beautiful down here, and people may make fun of us, and they may laugh at us, but I want you to know that God is going to give us a new body. I remember a man one time, he was very homely looking. And married a woman that was homely looking, for better terms. And people was always making fun of him. And one day the man said to some guys that was ribbing him about his wife and her lack of beauty. He said, "Why don't y'all leave us alone?" Said, "I love her, and she loves me. Why don't you just leave me alone?" I'll tell you what. It's going to be a startling view and a startling experience when you get to heaven, there won't be any ugliness. There won't be any deformities. We'll have a beautiful whole body created in the image of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to give you something of that body, and I won't take time to go any further, but it will be a body that you can outrun the deer. Your energy will never end. And your aspirations will always be glorious. God, what a wonderful and glorious event will occur when He gives us a new body. And we're going to be perfected at last. Huh? Yeah, once in a while, have you ever got to a place in your life where you thought you didn't ever sin? You know, you could see everybody else's sin, but you didn't have any sin. Other folks have a lot of mistakes, but not me. And I remember whenever I was just a young preacher, I was talking with a preacher one day. And he believed that whenever you get saved, you can be lost. But when you got saved, you didn't sin. And that just baffled my mind. What did the Apostle Paul say over in Galatians? He talked about the struggle that he had with the flesh and the spirit, and how the flesh tried to overcome the Spirit of God within him to get him to do evil and not do things that he ought to do. And then the Holy Spirit was there to strengthen him where he could, with the help of God, defeat any sin and any temptation. And there's never a temptation that comes your way that God has not made a way of escape for you. But we sin, and we'll be perfected at last. I doubt if there's anyone in this congregation that some folks hadn't found some fault with you. And some folks, you know, really, I've met some folks in my life that was like a vulture, going around looking for something dead and sinking. But I met some folks as like a hummingbird. They're going around looking for something sweet. The greatest compliment that you could ever receive is for someone to think of you and say, I've never heard a word of condemnation or fault finding from that man or that woman or that young person. But we'll be perfected at last. No one will know our sins. One other thing I want to say about that place, and there's a lot more I can say, but I'm going to try to get you out of here in this time, but there's a lot of things that happen in my life, in our world. I've dealt some things that people say, why? And the Bible tells us that we look through glasses, darkened now. But when we get there, we'll understand. We'll have full knowledge. A little baby was born in Nashville, Georgia, to a young couple. And she had a hole in her spine, and she had spinal fluid was draining out of it. And she couldn't. She couldn't say mama. She couldn't say daddy. She couldn't even focus her eyes. And I just couldn't ever talk with them about it because I didn't know what to say. But there came a time when they had to take that little baby and take her somewhere because she had grown and she was just a glob of human flesh. I would go over there. She'd be lying on the bed, and I'd get down on my knees by the bed, and I'd run my finger under her chin like we do little children, and I'd go do it. But they had to put her in, I guess it was Augusta, the home for little children like that. And some of the folks in the church was condemning them for doing that. she got where they couldn't take care of them. And they couldn't do what needed to be done. Don't ever condemn anybody else for anything they did, because you don't know what anguish they're going through. So I went over there the day before they were to go, and I went in and I sat down. And I just felt like I had to say something. I had to say something. And I sat down next to them and I said, WJ and I'm Gina. I don't understand why little Jennifer came into the world like she came. But the one thing that I know, that when Jennifer came, WJ, you weren't a Christian. And because of Jennifer coming into the world like she came, it's just possible that God sent little Jennifer into this world, because he knew there was no other way you would trust him and come to know him. One thing, and it ain't no brag, it's just plain fact. I've never questioned the goodness of God. And I've never blamed God for evil. And I've never blamed him for tragedy. God has proven his love over and over and over a million times, but the greatest demonstration of God's love, we all know of it. And that was on the hill of Golgotha outside of the city of Jerusalem, somewhere around AD 33. And whenever he took your sin and my sins upon himself, so that our sins would keep us, would not keep us out of heaven, make a way that we could all come home to the Lord. Two other things I want to share real briefly. Oh, goodness. Did you know that two of the most wonderful things that I have is that I can see my mama standing at the wash pan. Back in those days, we didn't have a spigot where you turn the water and wash them in one pan, another pan of water, and rinse them. I can see my mother out washing clothes and got the fire under the wash pot with lye soap that she had made from rusty crackers and grease and stuff. That's always puzzled me, how you could take grease like that and then make it into a soap, and how he would cut grease and everything else out of it. But I can remember seeing Mama. She had a stick called a battling stick. And I can see her reach over in the wash pot and take out a piece of clothing. We had a battling block. And she laying on the battling block. And she'd have beat it and beat it and beat it. She agitated it, agitated it. All of the people, that's members of this church, many that's gone on since I've been here. I miss y'all do too. Those of you, us that are left, we miss them. I would call some names, but I'm afraid that I would miss somebody, and I don't want to miss anyone. But heaven, the thing. But more glorious than that, Jesus is there.
You know, I try to imagine my singing. I imagine how wonderful and how glorious it is to behold him. There's a song that when I behold him, and if you can think of anybody that has done so much for you and sacrificed so much for you, and you can do that. And sometimes they may have already gone on, and you didn't get to say some things that you would like to have said. But whenever you see them and you could just look them in the face. And I've seen people, when people have been there in crisis time and helped people through tough times, and how they go through a tough time, somebody, and a person that is so dear and had loved them so much and cared for them so much would walk up, and I've seen them look in one another's face. And the person who is grieving so would grant that person that had come on and loved them so. I can just see the embrace. But you think about Jesus tonight.
How glorious it is. John Jasper was a colored preacher preaching in Richmond, Virginia years ago. And he was a great preacher. Certainly greater than I am. Black and white folks went to hear him. And he was preaching one night, and as he was preaching on heaven. And he became so overcome with his emotions that he just had to stop. And it was for a period of time that he couldn't say a word. And so he just took his arms and motioned for the people to get up and leave, and of course they didn't. And he started to walk away. And he was able to regain his composure. And he went back and leaned over the pulpit and said to the people, one of these days John Jasper is going to die. And he said, I'm going to heaven. And whenever I get to heaven, St. Pete will meet me at the gate and he'll say, John Jasper, don't you want this robe that's washed white in the blood of the Lamb? And he said, yeah, I would say yes, but not now. And he said, I'm walking a little further, and another angel will say to me, John Jasper, don't you want this crown that's bedecked with many jewels representing the souls you have won to Jesus? And he say, yes, Mr. Angel. But first of all, I want to see my Master Jesus. I want to see him. What a grand and glorious day that will be. I want to say a thing that about speaking about heaven is that the fact that everybody's not going there. Back during days of slavery, I read this story out of a book, it's a true story, about a plantation owner had slaves and one day, the plantation owner died. And somebody else on the plantation was talking to this slave and said, he's gone to heaven. And his slave said, no, sir, mister. He didn't go to heaven. He said, well, how do you know he didn't go to heaven? He said, well, sir, he says, whenever my master was going to go on a trip, he'd always talk about it. And he'd talk about it for days. And I never heard him talk about going to heaven. And said another thing. He said, when my master was going on a trip, he would always make preparation. And he said, I've never known of him making any preparation. And we know that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you're going to have to make the preparations. God has already prepared salvation. He made it possible that you could go to heaven. And that heaven could be your home. I know you want to go.